joining me for the very first time on Nest Radio, and it's Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Vilma. I'm very well. How are you?
Very good. And how have you been keeping over these past few months?
I've been great. I've been on holiday for a few weeks, so I'm back in the office this week.
Oh, and what's it like to be back in the office?
Yes, it's quite nice. Nice
and
holiday too.
Yes, well, that's right. We've got the best of both worlds by the sound of it, a bit of work and a bit of play. Well, lots been happening this year in real estate, and you kind of get the highs and lows, the volatility that does occur in real estate. But give us an idea how the auctions clearance rates and what's the latest on that, Wendy?
Norma, never a truer word was spoken about all the changes in.
Thank you very much.
We come on every few weeks and it's always something to talk about. The auction clearance rate this week is 54%. So this time last year was 70%. So that gives you some idea of the temperature of the real estate market at the moment. So things are just trotting along. However, there is not a lot of great confidence right now in real estate. So what we're seeing is this downturn, and there over the 4 weeks ending August 30th, capital city listings were 24% higher than a year ago and 8% above the five-year average. But despite more listings coming on, the flow of freshly advertised homes for the market is tracking 6% lower. But so basically, you go, how does that work? We've not got as many auctions clearing on the day of the auction, and that includes in the next day or two when you're under auction terms, having run your auction on a Saturday. There's just this lower absorption of properties selling and that they're sitting longer on the market. So it's taking a longer time for homes to sell at the moment. So.
Yes, well, it is a little bit of a volatile situation, so it doesn't make it that pleasant. But are there still people wanting to, obviously, there's always people wanting to buy properties. How do you find your audience at the moment when I say that? Are you getting a lot of inquiries, people wanting to buy properties in our local area or wherever?
No, inquiry has dropped off, and this has happened right across the board. So a number of weeks ago, we had a get-together for buyer's advocates. We had a lunch, like an annual lunch that we have, and everyone was saying that the number of inquiries are down. So whilst we're in a market like this where there's not as much activity and homes are not selling as well, sometimes buyers, even though it is a brilliant, if you're a buyer in the market right now, it's a brilliant time to buy because there's not as much competition and you've got more choice at the moment. We're in the spring selling season that was just started. September starts the spring selling season. So we will likely even see more stock coming onto the market. But for some reason, buyers are sitting on their hands a little bit. We are on the doorstep of having an election as well. And every single time, regardless of what a market is doing, when elections are looming, people just seem to go, well, I don't like change. I don't know what's happening. I'll just not do anything at the moment, but we're definitely seeing like a softening of confidence with what is going on out there. But it does depend on the price bracket as well.
Okay.
So first-time buyers tend to be in the 1 million and below bracket. So there are pockets around Melbourne that are still doing okay, but the what we've referred to as like the upper quartile of the more expensive homes, when a market shifts like this, which it has, we do tend to see those homes losing value or coming off in value quicker than the homes that are more moderately priced.
Yeah, well, that kind of gives us a good indication. Now, I wanted to ask you the market update for 2026. We are officially in spring now, and we always talk about the spring has sprung, and we talk about this every year. But how is the rest of the year looking, considering that there are a few hiccups there along the way? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, For the month, Melbourne pricing is down 1.1% for August and down 3.9% for the quarter, and we're down 4.7% annually. So we're sitting 6.5% below the recent peak. Mm. So the steam really has come out of the market is what is the crux of it. And the confidence there, because the reality is that people are getting very stretched right now with affordability, higher costs of living.
Mm.
Interest rates are on hold at the moment, but they have been trending up. Wages aren't growing. You've got inflation in the mix there. And then there's all of these various government announcements and changes that they have, particularly out of the budget from May, but they continue to make these announcements and changes, and it's not doing anything for the confidence of the market.
Yes, well, that is so true. So we just need to be a bit mindful and slowly get that wheel going around and again. But change is coming as from the 1st of October, and this is what I think people are getting a bit concerned about, because there's constant changes. And so the Victorian sales and auction reforms, what are the new rules now?
So there's a raft of changes coming in from the 1st of October, which is only a few weeks away now, and then there's a couple of weeks grace period for people to get their head around it and get it right. But it's as part of the Consumer Legislation Amendment Bill 2026. So the main changes that are happening are that the agents have to publish a vendor's actual reserve price at least 7 days before an auction or a fixed date sale. So what that means is that anybody selling their home is the vendor. 7 days out from the actual auction date have to reveal what their reserve is. So this is just a massive change, because I know from working in this industry, I'm 30 years working dealing with real estate, you don't even necessarily know what your reserve is going to be 7 days out, because you've still got buyers floating around and having all the homes and so forth. So that's probably one of the biggest ones. There's if an agent fails to publish the reserve price in this time frame, property cannot legally proceed to auction. So what it means is that if it hasn't been auctioned, then if it hasn't been advertised, you can't put your property to auction. But there's a lot of questions around. There hasn't been clarity provided about these rules, because what happens if the vendor changes their reserve inside of those 7 days? What if they drop their reserve? Does that mean the 7-day clock starts ticking again and the auction can't proceed on that scheduled Saturday? It's on Tuesday for a Saturday auction. They decide to change their reserve up or down or whatever. Does that mean that resets that clock and they can't now auction that property? So that's unclear if they lower the reserve or they need to reset their auction date for further 7 days. So this is what is causing confusion in the industry as well. One of the other main changes are there's no longer going to be a statement of information. It's now going to be changed to be a property price statement, or PPS for short. So it's going to have heightened disclosure requirements and forcing prominent display alongside specific comparable property metrics. Now, the statement of information was three comparable sales within the last 6 months within 2 kilometres. Now they're saying, well, it's got to include things like the type of building, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, number of car spaces, the size of internal built areas, such as floor space in square metres, the total size of the land in square metres, and other prescribed features. Now, I have said all along that buyers need to do their due diligence. All that stuff now that they're asking for, that is basic 101 due diligence that buyers should be doing. It seems to be that the government wants to legislate and mandate that buyers don't have to do any of the work.
Well, I don't know about that, but anyway, continue.
So, another change is the public sale price. And so from the 1st of October, the advertising must display the sale price within 7 days of the sale going unconditional, and it must be published for at least 18 months, and it must be free for the public to see it. So not only do you have to publish your reserve 7 days out before an auction or a sale, You then have to disclose what the property sold for. And as I said, working this for a long time, we have clients that for various reasons they don't want the result disclosed. It could be a difficult sale, could be circumstances like divorces, that kind of thing. My question is, okay, if a vendor has to say what their reserve is, does a buyer have to declare what their full budget is? So what's the difference here?
Yes. So what is the difference?
Well, I don't see why are the vendors having to say what their reserves are when the buyers aren't having to say what their budgets are. Why is it good for the goose but not for the gander?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But I don't know what is the drivers behind all of this, because, as I say, if you are somebody out there in the market looking to buy a property, there's some basic due diligence steps you should be doing. And if you're not confident in doing that or haven't got the time, and then that's where we come in as your buyer's advocate to help you with this. Because these things here are basic 101 stuff that we do for clients. So every buyer should be doing this.
Well, there you go. So, yes, it is. These rules seem to come into play, and you just can't keep up with it. And I think these rules are just to keep everyone else happy, except the people that are buying these properties, unfortunately. But there's more changes coming in 2027 now, again. So what does the Consumer Legislation Amendment Bill for 2026 propose?
Can you imagine, Vilma, between now and then, which is what, seven, 8 months away, how many other changes are going to happen?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, you just really, you can't keep up. And people are getting just annoyed with what is happening, and especially when people want to buy a property, everyone needs a roof over their head. But also people that are wanting to sell and get the best price. But the best price at the moment, you are struggling. To get the price, the best price that you can possibly get. I mean, as we know, people, some agents just overrate the property itself so to lure their customers in. But at the end of the day, to get the right price today, you know, that you've got a battle here, selling and buying. So please tell us more about those changes.
Yeah, you absolutely do, Vilma. And as we've talked about on many a show together, we've talked about underquoting and why that happens and all the kind of things. And you're always going to get bad apples. But I don't feel that any of this legislation is necessarily going to help the real estate market, help vendors, and ultimately help buyers either, because it's not providing the transparency that people think it will. Anyway, the overhaul's happening from the 1st of July next year. One of the big ones is deposit handling. So right now, there's something called a Section 27 under the Sale of Land Act, which allows the early release of the deposit. So they're abolishing that. So instead of it just being something that's written in the Act, it now has to be contractually required as a condition within the contract and agreed to all parties. So why would a Section 27 or release of deposit be important to the people in real estate? Well, if you've just sold your home and most people who are selling a home are looking to buy another one, you take those funds as part of your deposit toward your next purchase. And so they release under 27 at around about the day 28 or 30, so then you can proceed with your next purchase. Well, if people are buying on longer settlements and they don't have access to the deposit, it's going to stymie their ability to act by the next home. So there's these deposit handling overhaul rules that are changing. And the second thing is that the vendor statement, again, part of the Sale of Land Act, is the Section 32. Now, the Section 32 vendor statement outlines all the bits and pieces about a property, things like brick roads and rates and water and things like that, flood zones, bushfire, that kind of thing. It's just a lot more detail about a property. So they're mandating that rather than just handing the document to a buyer right before they sign, the vendors now must make it available within a specific time frame. They're talking about 14 days is what's been floated, but I have seen that they might be changing that because, I mean, they just change things all the time. It must be available. These changes they proposed initially were effective by the 1st of June next year. The statement must be available at least 14 days before the first scheduled auction or fixed date, and a campaign cannot legally proceed if this window is missed. Now, I can tell you that we buy a lot of homes off market for clients, or we sell properties for clients off market, where it hasn't hit the public market yet. That's the nature of an off market. And this 14-day having to have this statement available before a sale can go through is going to actually kill that. Stop people being able to achieve sales and purchases in a timely manner. So let's watch this space as to what types of changes, more changes, how they're going to manipulate this.
Well, don't worry, I will be watching this space because you and I will be both watching it together. So we'll get a good understanding of that. Now, if anybody wants to go back and listen to Wendy's conversation with myself this afternoon, please go to the website, which is www.nest.radio/listen, and you can actually listen on demand at your leisure, at your time, whenever. So please do. And pick up some great hints from the wonderful Wendy Chamberlain. Now, of course, when people are buying properties, a lot of people, well, let's be honest here, can be quite naive and get caught up with the emotions and all that fuzzy feeling and when buying a property. But I think to ground them a little bit, it's always great to do some homework. And when I say homework, there is a home buying secret course, but I think it's more of an understanding and a guide to make sure that you are listening to the right bell, so to speak. And it's a safe, a self-paced learning, and for everyone looking to buying a home. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Vilma, it absolutely covers off the things I've been speaking to you and the listeners about today. It's that due diligence that as a buyer is basic 101 things. I've outlined all of these things in my home buying secrets course, and it's a step-by-step self-paced learning guide. And you don't have to do the whole course. You can jump in at the point where you need. It covers bidding at auctions. It covers negotiating. It covers dealing with real estate agents. It covers being an area expert, which is all of these things I've talked about, knowing what a property, any given property at any time in an area of type X, what that property is likely to be worth. Mm. And that's what it shows you how to do. Mm. And you just follow the bouncing ball.
Yes, and what a bouncing ball it is. And it gives you an insight from what you probably didn't know previously. But one thing I've always learnt in negotiation, and I think you might sort of tick the box on that one for me, and I remember when I used to do a bit of negotiation, and I would say to people, because I actually did a bit of, I did quite a bit of training in-house for a company when it comes to sale. And as you know yourself, Wendy, you either have it or you don't. And and with sales, it's always good to be able to understand your client, very much so. But it's always good to stay quiet, especially when it comes to the negotiating, the hard part, and the numbers, because someone will sort of break that silence, and it's normally the client. And that's one thing I did learn, and allow people that moment just to think and reflect. And as a salesperson, as a genuine, honest salesperson, stay quiet, because that client will say what they need to say, and it could be beautiful sounds to your ears. How does that sound?
It's absolutely correct, Vilma, that people don't like silence, and they feel this need to fill the space.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And so very important. And understanding how the process works is very important. And also to being a buyer's advocate and a seller's advocate, you tell me what the main core of this is.
Well, I was on a call yesterday with somebody who is interested in having us come on as a seller advocate, to vendor advocate, to help them sell the house. And she hit the nail on the head, is that she said she doesn't like real estate agents. She doesn't know who to trust.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
And it's unfortunate in our industry, because there are some great agents. Yes. However, the bad people in the industry cause a problem for everybody else. So we are independent and impartial. We save you time. We help you choose the right person when it comes to selling the property, because not all agents aren't equal. Some are better than others, and even different types of homes, some are better than others.
Mm.
On the buying side, we have access to off-market opportunities. Those are the homes that people don't even get told about. And we will literally have ring an agent about a client's brief, and we'll be told about homes that nobody else gets told about. So you get, a lot of times you get first dibs at a home. And there's this misnomer out there that it's the B and C grade stock and it's crappy stuff that nobody wants. It's absolutely not. Mm. It's just having our relationships and networks with real estate agents, we can get you into looking at homes that you otherwise may not even see.
Yeah, and not only that, Wendy, but with an advocate too, they're in it to help you. And I think once you speak to an advocate, you'll realise how it does work financially and as well as looking after you all the way through. And and what do they say? Keep the I can't use the B word, but keep the B's honest. And that's what it's all about. Well, Wendy, I just want to thank you for your time this afternoon, and thank you for being a part of Nest Radio. You are my first guest ever to come on
Nest Radio.
Yes,
fantastic.
You are the very first, so please put that on in the records. But you're definitely my first guest on Nest Radio, and just want to say thank you for your time. I'm glad you had a great holiday, and look forward to chatting with you very soon once again.
Thanks, Belma. We always have lots to talk about.
You're not wrong there, especially when it comes to real estate. And once again, Wendy Chamberlain, best-selling author and real estate agent, podcaster, radio, been on radio, done many things, and one of the bestsellers in Melbourne. And I will give you her you can actually send her an email and say hi at chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And don't forget, tell our listeners about the free ebook.
We do. We have an ebook for anybody that's interested, just to find out a little bit more about the process. And you can go to chamberlainadvocates.com.au/ Nest Radio, no dot.
Good on you. What a woman. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon. And I know that we'll be chatting again very soon. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Belma.
Bye-bye now. Nest Radio 98.9 FM.